You're on Energy Groove Radio. This is the Music Weekly. My name's Brad Jackson. We'll be back in the studio for you very shortly. But right now, I have a very special guest on the line. A 22-letter phrase, aka Angus Gardner, has released a new single entitled Predisposition. Now, it's a taste of the debut EP, which was dropped yesterday. And the EP is called Just Tell Me What I Gotta Do. Now, Angus joins me on the line via Zoom. How are you, Angus?
Good, thanks, Brad. Thanks so much for having me.
You are most welcome. Now, tell me, I guess, about this body of work that you've put together as part of the EP, Just Tell Me What I Gotta Do. What was the genesis for this body of work? Because I understand that you're quite the accomplished musician yourself, having collaborated with a whole bunch of artists, and we'll talk about that soon. But this is your first foray into the solo kind of world.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of felt like it was time for me to do something all of my own. And it came at a time in my life when I guess I felt the need to really, you know, be myself and have something that was sort of truly expressed who I was. I didn't want to, you know, go through life having not really created anything of my own. So, yeah, I've worked with a lot of different people over the years, but this is a piece of work that I've made all by myself. The only thing I didn't do was play the drums on it. So I sort of wrote it and recorded it and produced it and mixed it and mastered it and made the cover art and tried to do everything. So I guess that's what I'm getting at with the artist name, 22-letter phrase, which is itself, if that makes sense. Like it is a 22-letter phrase, as is my name, Angus Frederick Gardner, and the name of the EP, Just Tell Me What I Gotta Do, all 22-letter phrases. And I liked this idea of being yourself and nothing else.
How does it feel now that you've published something that is entirely yours? As you mentioned, you played every instrument, you even made the cover art, and you mixed and you mastered it as well. So your hands are all over this one.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I definitely listen to it and all I hear are how it could be better. And that's really what's, maybe that's what stopped me releasing stuff in the past, but it's the type of sort of, I guess I use it as an exercise in sort of self-acceptance and like, well, like, this is it. I've made a pretty good go of this. And I know it's not perfect, but I may as well release it anyway because it's who I am, you know. So I like that sort of like attitude of it being good enough to release, and there's always room for improvement.
Well, you've been, I guess, a collaborator and a session musician with the likes of Montaigne, Jack River, Jared James, East, Dean Lewis, just to name a few, plus you're a founding member of Papa Versus Pretty, which are all amazing accolades in their own right. What would you say from those experiences you've learnt that you could have transferred over to this solo project?
I think when you're playing like as a singer, you sort of have a more of a professional responsibility rather than an emotional responsibility to the music. And I liked that feeling of like, you know, I guess you're not as vulnerable when you're making other people's music as opposed to your own. So having all that experience, I guess, gave me a little bit of a clinical perspective on music that I could flex. And then working on this 22-letter phrase music, like I was able to apply that and sort of technically see it through whilst having the emotional like sort of interest behind it. So it's a difficult question to answer because you definitely do become attached to any music that you play, but I guess it's all about having the technical facility to see through what you want to do. Yeah,
and how do you think you'll feel being on the other side of the coin now that I suppose we will eventually start opening up? I'm assuming that you will at some point play these live. Will you have other people playing the songs that you've written with you?
Yeah, I'm hoping to. Yeah, I would love to do it with a band, and I'm fortunate to be in a position where I know a lot of session musicians, you know, so I think I could get a good band together and it would be a lot of fun. Imagined having a band of, you know, all my heroes in the Sydney music scene. So that would be really cool. But for now, yeah, I'm doing this gig tonight online on YouTube, which is free, and it's just like a little intimate sort of half-hour gig where I'll just play the EP. So I'm looking forward to one day getting on a stage, but for now it's just the online stuff.
Now tell us about the single, Predisposition. It's quite a complex track. It's simple in how it sounds sonically until it gets to the latter half of the track where you just go full on with some string arrangements and it becomes all very emotional. So tell us about this single, where you started writing it, what was the catalyst for it, and musically how you approached it.
Yeah, so I mean it's pretty deep. I read this book. Whenever I recommend this book to people, I feel like I'm like recommending a Beatles album or something, because I think it's a really well-known book, and it was like, you know, on the New York Times list of like books you have to read before you die. So it's not like I'm the one who's discovered this book or anything, but Viktor E. Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And reading it was a really transformative experience for me. The book is sort of largely about making meaning out of your human existence and living with sort of a fierce intentionality over your own free will and your own attitude to things. So my psychologist recommended I read the book. I have been struggling a lot with grief and sort of traumatic issues around the passing of a really close friend, Luke Liang, who was my bandmate in Pavlos Pretty. And I guess going through all of that, I had become very disillusioned with, who I was, where I was going, what the meaning of my existence might be. And reading this book really changed things for me. And the song is really about feeling a little bit disconnected from who you were in the past, feeling like your life in the past it wasn't really yours or wasn't really you, and you're not sure where you're going in the future, and you sort of imagine the future how you would like it to be, but at the same time you need to accept that it may never be that way. So it's a song a little bit about that, you know. hopefully people can hear in it what they need or want to hear, and it's open-ended enough that different people can take different things from it.
And how are you feeling now that the song is out there? I imagine that the entire process would have been relatively cathartic for you and your mental health.
Yeah, it was. And it's nice to have it out. I feel a little bit like this is some of the first music that I've released, and I feel a little bit like, oh, here's this new artist that wants to talk about, you know, existentialism. Like, can't he just write an old song? But it is nice to have the song out, and I guess have a little bit of, I don't know, closure or a little bit of like a full stop to that little eddy current in my life. Like, I wrote this song, I guess it would have been off, like roughly this time, September, October last year, 2020.
Okay.
So it's been bouncing around in my head. I probably finished the recording around, I don't know, maybe February this year, something like that. So, it's nice to have it off my hard drive and out on the streaming and YouTube and all of that.
Mm. Well, it's a beautiful track, so congratulations on it, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the EP as well when I get my hands on it. Tell us what is coming next for a 22-letter phrase. Are we expecting an album at some point? How much material is kind of in the bank there?
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff in the filing cabinet. I like writing stuff down rather than recording it at first, and so I've gone through, I don't do it every single day, but I've gone through little periods where, you know, say a 2-week period where I'll try and just write a song every single day and try and think less about quality control and think more about getting ideas down. So I guess when the time's right, I'll just go back through everything and start putting some stuff together. And yeah, I definitely would like to release more music. I'm not sure if it'd be a record or just more EPs. I like sort of doing little bite-sized chunks and just getting it out there. So it might even just be singles from now on, or more EPs, or maybe a record. I don't know. It sort of depends what comes up. The other thing I sort of is important to me is making sure that I've got something worthwhile to write about. I like having something that's quite focused and quite big. You know, I don't want to just write about going to the shops. So, I think you've got to, if there's one thing the world doesn't need, it's more music, you know, in a way. There's already such an oversupply. So I'd like to make my music meaningful and make my music intentional. Yeah.
Well, there might be an oversupply of music, but there's certainly a short supply of good music, it seems.
Right. So, right.
I just wanted to ask you about the writing. So from what I understand, you are quite the fan of physically writing things down, i.e. you use a typewriter sometimes. Now, that is very old school. So tell me about your relationship with the typewriter. What is it about that you love so much?
Yeah. So I mean, I guess I'm a bit of an old school person by nature. My parents are Baroque musicians and I grew up playing classical music. And even when I was at uni, I had this lecturer who insisted that we hand in everything in calligraphy. So maybe it's something that I'm just sort of predisposed to. But the typewriter, I got it about maybe 18 months ago. And I'll just use it every day, not every day at the moment, but mostly every day to just keep a diary, write down even lyrics. I like the routine of it. I like how it gives you something to sit down and do and physically move the paper through the machine and create a tactile object that sort of can serve as a thing that you've made at the end of it, rather than just having a file. It's also got no backspace, which is nice. So whatever is going through there just ends up on the paper and you can edit it later, sort of like that. So I posted it on Instagram. I even still got my original little scribbled manuscript for predisposition and writing everything down. I bought this typewriter from this collector who was selling his massive collection, and I asked him what got him into typewriters, and he was this weird eccentric guy, and he looked at me and he goes, "You ever heard of Tom Hanks?" And it sort of rang a bell. I knew Tom Hanks collects typewriters, and I said, "Yeah, I know Tom Hanks." And he goes, "Well, if it's good enough for Tom Hanks, it's good enough for me."
Well, that's a good enough reason, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hanks is a very successful man. I love the physicality and the sounds of the typewriter. It's just, I think it's the sounds, the clunking, the tapping, and just the satisfaction of just, I haven't used a typewriter in some years, but the sliding back of the, whatever you call it, I don't even know what they're called. But
yeah, I don't know what it's called, but yeah, there's the way that slides back and the way that everything comes out so clinically.
Yeah.
Even when you write something that's very soft and emotional and metaphorical or whatever, it comes out so clinically and exactly the same. So it's really just laid out in front of you what you've written.
Is it an expensive thing to maintain?
No, this one I got it cheap for maybe $100, and it had a nice fresh ribbon in it. It works perfectly. The guy told me where you can get the ribbons from, and it's like, I don't know, they're not that expensive. But the ribbon, the ribbon's the part that holds the ink, you know?
Right.
So that will eventually wear out, but this thing's fine. It's all good. It's from 1963, West Germany. It's called an Olympia typewriter.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Angus Gardner, it's been an absolute pleasure being able to pick your brain and hear the stories about the EP, which is out now. So have fun at the gig tonight.
Thank you very much, Brad. Yeah, it's at 9 o'clock Sydney time. So hope people log on and have a look. It's on YouTube.
Fantastic. We'll link that through on our website. So if you want to check out the live streamed performance by Angus, head to our website, energy-groove.com, if you're not there already. Angus Gardner, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brad.